Blog Talk Radio. Hi, I'm Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Please, composed with love by my nephew, Miles DeBastian. I am a woman on a mission. And that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight are my co-hosts, Kim and Nicole. Nicole is a beautiful young woman, a writer, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order. And she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex. Since Nicole knows women are making many of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Kim is a beautiful woman as well. She's a divorced mother of two. She will share the secrets that she has heard men utter about love, relationships, and marriage, and she's learned these from being a dancer in a strip club. And please feel free to call us with your questions. The call-in number is 646-929-0958. Tonight we're tackling a hot topic, and the question we're posing is, how jealous are you? And what is the message in the bottled-up emotion known as jealousy, and what's it trying to reveal to you? Let's face it, we've all felt jealous at one time or another, haven't we? In the simplest terms, jealousy is the fear of loss. When you're jealous, you fear that someone or something will take someone or something from you. Now, I know my two co-hosts have done their homework. They're really great about that. Kim, will you tell us what you found out about jealousy?
Well, I actually had to look it up because I wasn't quite sure what it was because I'm really not a jealous person. But according to Wikipedia, jealousy typically refers to the negative thoughts and feelings of insecurity, fear, and anxiety that occur when a person believes a valued relationship is being threatened by a rival. Jealousy often contains a mixture of emotions such as anger, sadness, and disgust. While jealousy and envy are similar, they differ that in jealousy is about something one has and is afraid of losing, while envy is about something one does not have and either wants to acquire or to prevent another from getting.
Great. At this stage of human consciousness, most people have not yet mastered the jealousy demon because this powerful emotion is deeply ingrained in our collective unconscious. The collective unconscious is the part of our mind that comes already programmed from other lifetimes. Some of our collective unconscious houses truth, and some of our collective unconscious houses errors in thinking and false beliefs that have been hammered into our heads from the dawn of time. We can place our jealous feelings on a ladder. The rungs of jealousy range from normal, everyday garden variety love up to deadly, pathological jealousy. The call-in number is 646-929-0958. And the first question I'm asking is, have you ever experienced jealousy? Let's start with Nicole.
Yes, unfortunately, jealousy has gotten the better of me at certain times in my life. Although I'd like to deny it, but it is the fact.
And how did it manifest? Did you do anything? Did you stalk the person? Did you check?
No. I never did any of that. It was I basically kept my jealousy to just internalized and with a very, very aggressive outward attitude.
So mostly it manifested as anger. Jealousy is a strong,
yes,
angry component to it.
Yes.
When we're jealous, we're really angry. We really feel, you know, we're fiercely guarding over something. We're like a guard dog, you know, watching over that thing. We want to make sure that that person isn't going anywhere. It's not a very pleasant feeling.
No, it wasn't a very pleasant feeling. It really didn't make me feel too good, and it really didn't make the other person feel too good either. So,
how about you, Kim? Ever experienced jealousy?
I'm not an overly jealous person, but let's say, you know, on any given day if I'm having an emotionally hard time and I'm not feeling good about myself, jealousy can come into play, but ordinarily I'm pretty secure with myself and I'm not really jealous of feeling threatened by anybody. So.
And that's a very good point. Our jealousy does go up and down. Some days we won't feel jealousy at all. If we're feeling really good about ourselves, we've had a great day, we just won the lotto, everything's going our way, we're not going to feel jealousy. It tends to be when we're not in a job we like, we're not, you know, we're not feeling good about ourselves, then we tend to feel like we're not worthy of someone and we wonder why they wouldn't want somebody better. So it really is more about us than about another person. Would you agree with that?
Yes. Yes. Actually, I was talking earlier prior to the show, and Charlie Reese had said if malice or envy were tangible and had a shape, the shape would be that of a boomerang. And I think that's basically what you're saying in a nutshell is you know, people will try to use other people as an excuse, you know, and people will try to throw jealousy out there and blame the other person, but what it all comes down to is it all comes down to you.
And the boomerang is exactly right. You're going to lose someone if you're going to try to hold them that tight. That's what happens. You know, at first you're trying to, you know, you keep making these compromises and changes and, you know, trying to make that person happy so that they're not jealous, so that you don't have this angry tirade that's going on, and you keep making compromises and you keep giving up friends, things, dressing differently, whatever it is to keep that person from being jealous. Eventually you can't take it. So it does boomerang, and the person is not because they don't love you that they leave you. They just don't like you anymore. And that's the sad part about jealousy. If you really hold somebody too tight, they are going to bolt out the door. I mean, I've had that experience, you know, in my own marriage. Probably one of the main reasons, besides when we talked about money issues, was my ex-husband's excessive jealousy. I felt I couldn't be myself. If other people were around, I had to, like, sort of tone down my personality. I couldn't be warm. You know, I couldn't hug somebody, you know, another man at all, or even talk to another man. And it was really a horrible place to be in. And after a while, I couldn't take it. I was in that situation for many years. And there was a point where it was pretty much the jealousy that really ate away at the relationship. So, you know, if you love somebody, deal with your jealousy issues. Don't make it so that that person, even though they love you, they can't take it and they walk away. I don't know if you've ever had that experience, Kim. I don't think she'd let anybody hold her that tight. She's pretty strong. I don't think she's going to make a lot of concessions, but, you know, I'm talking maybe when she was 17, 16 maybe.
I would have to say in my first marriage, he was, oof, horribly jealous. But I always laugh because he was out screwing around anyway, and he was probably projecting his feelings onto me. Not that I was an angel. But
again, that
I was afraid of him. I was afraid if I didn't do what he, you know, wanted, it would become a fight. And I kind of, again, compromised my personality like you had. And I wasn't the person I wanted to be.
And she did bring up a very important point. Jealousy has a projected side to it. If the person has their own desires for other people, they will project that onto us. So that's the scary part about jealousy, the person who's so jealously guarding over us. I wonder what they're really thinking. And anyway, I think we have a caller.
We do, Cindy.
Okay.
Hello, you're on with Cindy, Kim, and Nicole.
Hello?
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 This is Lorraine.
Hi, is this my cousin, Lorraine?
This is your cousin, Lorraine.
Oh, my goodness. She was my baby cousin. Talk about jealousy. I was the baby in the family till Lorraine came around. How dare she be born? And, you know, I hadn't spoken to her in years and years, and the book has brought us back together. Isn't that amazing?
Oh, congratulations, ladies.
And Lorraine has read the book. And, Lorraine, do you have anything to add about jealousy? Have you ever been with a jealous man?
You know, I have, but not to an excessive degree. But I have experienced, you know, it's just human nature to feel, you know, every once in a while, you know, oh, somebody's looking at the guy I'm with, and that's not good.
Oh, so women, you're the jealous one.
Women in Sarasota, I live in Sarasota, Florida, are extremely aggressive.
You heard about the aggressiveness from Michael about Florida people.
Oh, no.
They are.
They are?
So, you know, I'm just trying to survive. I've been divorced now for 3 years after 23 years of marriage, and I'm currently with a man. And we have, you know, a great relationship, but we had a few little things where we were together at a bar, and a woman comes up and rubs up against him. It's like, excuse me?
Was this Kim?
Oh, no.
I think it was Kim. Very nice.
No,
wasn't that what were you doing in Florida?
No.
Very nice.
That kind of a bar.
Yeah, no, I mean, and so how did you respond, and how did he respond? Was he
you
like...
know what? It was weird because I walked in there, and I felt it right away.
Oh.
You know, you could just feel that somebody was, you know, the psychic daggers were being thrown.
Oh, and stalking your guy, huh?
Yeah, and I felt like I wanted to just leave.
Well, is it jealousy when somebody's really after your mate, or is it jealousy when, I think it's, you know, when they're not after your mate, do you know what I'm saying? I think that's probably a normal amount of wanting to hold on. I think that that would be, you know, your own inner radar saying, this woman is after my man, and, you know, I think that was a normal defense mechanism, wouldn't you think?
Could be, yeah.
I would have to disagree myself. But
I'd
have to disagree too. Every time I went out to a bar and I was with somebody I was with and a man was looking at me, I don't know, I just be appreciative of that. Your man must be good looking.
Well, he is, of course.
But I think, you know, the jealousy, you know, the kind that really drives people the most nuts is when, you know, you're not really doing anything and a person is, like, really guarding over you very closely. You know, yours seems like the more within the range of, well, this is what people feel. They don't really like someone after their meet while they're, you know, not while they're right sitting there. It can make you a little uncomfortable. And
yeah.
This is a new relationship, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, I think there's a little bit more insecurity in a new relationship than there might be in one that's a little bit there longer.
Absolutely.
And I know you've read the book. Has it helped you with some of your issues? Or
it has helped me tremendously. And you know what? I got to say, Cindy, and it's not because you're my cousin and I love you dearly with all my heart, but you're way ahead of your time.
Well, thank you.
And I'm going to say this, too, about last week's show, that how the sacred sexuality.
Right.
I want to say this because people weren't ready to hear that.
Oh, yeah, you noticed that. And you know what we were saying afterwards? It's like if you've never been in love, how do you say tell someone love exists, what it feels like? If they've never actually made love in a sacred way.
Yes.
You can't. You will never know it is until you fall so deeply in love.
Absolutely.
And
I'm going to say 99% of the people just didn't get it.
No,
and
they didn't get it. And you know they didn't get it. And we knew we were out there on the limb. And I think they probably put me, like, I'm in the classification of sort of a prude or someone who's like, why are you trying to let us not have fun in the bedroom? No, I want you to have fun in the bedroom.
Of course, that was the point, but they didn't get
fun. They didn't get it, and I know
they didn't get it.
Some of the emails that I got, and I didn't share that with some of the people, were a little bit attacking of me, and I don't personally take that, you know, one way or the other, but I felt they missed the whole point of it.
Yeah, they did, and I felt that through the whole thing. I was listening, and I tried to get through, and I was like, well, you know, wait, you guys aren't getting it. But they're not going to get it. You're ahead of your time.
Oh, so, and that's what we're actually trying to get people just to think about evolution. And even with jealousy, at this stage of human consciousness, most people are going to experience jealousy. And
of
they
course.
Probably will for two or three lifetimes from now.
Of course. It's human nature.
Right, and it's something to use it for benefit, you know, to figure out ways that you can use it as for its good aspect. It's just when it gets that toxic kind of jealousy that we're that really concerns me, and it's deadly. It's the newspaper.
Oh,
you know,
where somebody gets run over. No, that's you know what I. That's a real thing. I don't even know if I should say this because
you could say anything. We learned to put censors here.
My significant other is listening in the other room. He is recently divorced. His ex-wife, we're really concerned that she could be, you know, like running him over in the parking lot.
Yeah, well, that's because it's that master-slave archetype in which someone thinks they actually own us, especially when they're married. That's what jealousy has, a lot of ownership to it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in my book I talk about pathological jealousy, and it has the power to, like, have, if you know, if I can't have you, nobody can.
Right.
And we see it enough on the front covers of newspapers all the time where a woman's trying to leave her husband and he, you know, drives her over with a car or, you know, kills her. And it's, again, we don't own people. If we could just get that into our heads, that we don't own people and they're free to come and go. You might not like it, but they are free to come and go. And if you love them, heart, soul, mind, and body, they're not going to run away too fast. They are going to stay around. They're usually running because you're doing things that, you know, are making them feel, oh, God, this is not a good relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there is the point when it's that kind of jealousy. Sometimes, you know, an order of protection is the only thing that might, not that it always works, but sometimes you need to do that. You need to say, hey, look, you know, you threaten me one more time, I'm, you know, going to get an order of protection that usually can at least stop people from even threatening that or finding another person.
But I think the pendulum is swinging so far to the extreme so it can come back to a norm. I know I'm not saying this right because I'm not a writer like you, but you're doing your part to make things, to make this world a better place.
Right,
and
just so that people will stop making the end of a relationship a war.
Exactly.
And stop torturing each other because the person's walked out the door.
Exactly.
I mean, that's a pretty scary thing. I don't know if anyone else had the experience, but I know for years, you know, I was pretty much threatened by my ex-husband. If I tried to walk out the door, there would be dire consequences. It was only when I finally said, I really don't care.
Yeah.
You know what I
yeah.
mean? You'd rather be
it's
dead
like,
than in this marriage. That
yes.
And Kim is shaking her head.
Yes.
It's when we finally say that. And, you,
yes.
and, you know, fortunately, you know, the person isn't always that crazy, although it's just saying they're going to hurt you is crazy, if you ask me.
Yeah.
I mean, if someone doesn't want to be with me, I just please tell me and you're free
yeah,
to move
go.
On. You know, I'll find someone who wants to be with me. I'm certainly not going to stalk you or threaten you or tie you to the bed that you can't leave me. So
exactly.
I think, you know, I like hearing, no, I don't like hearing, but it's interesting that it's a man being harassed by a woman. Don't you find that interesting? It's not just the men doing it to women. It's both
oh,
men.
Oh, no. You know, you just don't hear so much about the women because men are, you know, have that macho thing. They don't want to admit it.
That they have a woman who's threatening them, that's scary. I mean,
yeah.
that's why the movie Fatal Attraction, and you know, was a
yes.
pretty good thing to show that women can be totally crazy.
Yeah,
and
there's plenty of them out there, trust me.
Especially in Florida. We know Florida seems to be overwhelmed with them. But
I'm telling you, you ever watch America's Most Wanted? They're all in Florida.
Wow, that's true.
It is.
Well, you know, first of all, you know, we've really been trying to get that whole concept of jealousy out there. And, you know, normal jealousy and the pathological are two entirely different animals, and that's for sure.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Nicole has anything to say about jealousy because she's over there. You know, she's had her own bout with jealousy this year, so.
I have. What was the question?
It's about jealousy. You know, it's usually cellmates that have the most jealousy issues.
Yeah, that was the one.
Because they have rage issues, you know, anger issues. And jealousy is really an anger and paranoia issue, too. There's a level of paranoia when a person really sometimes is looking for trouble.
No, I don't think that I was being paranoid when I was being jealous. I think that everything was justified in the end. But basically, the only thing that I could say about that is that jealousy, aside from being brought forth in anger, it is more or less a basic fear that you're losing value or that you're losing something that has value to you. And, you know, you try to fight that and you try to sit there and you try to hold on to it, you know, as long as you possibly can, not to lose it. And in my particular case, you know, I knew that I was losing my relationship, which is why I kind of, you know, freaked out. You know, the bottom line was that, you know, my ex was definitely a bisexual. I knew that, for all intents and purposes, that it was never going to be. she was never going to be what I wanted her to be. And I tried to fight that with everything that I had. And in the end, it wound up, you know, nearly destroying both of us, you know, until the point of where I finally had to say that, you know what, I just have to come to terms with the fact that, am I losing value? Or am I losing something of value? Yes. But if I really loved the person, which I did, then I had to love them enough to let them go.
And that is the key, letting them go. But in a higher love, which we're always striving for higher love, nobody owns anybody, and they're two equals. And the higher the love, eventually the lower the jealousy will be, because if you're really being loved heart, soul, mind, and body, and you're really loving heart, soul, mind, and body, no person is going to put that relationship asunder. They can't. Why would you be seeking someone else? So it is needing to get someone who can commit to you heart, soul, mind, and body. Might it be what will help you in the future with your jealousy issues too?
Well, basically, the way that I kind of worked those out was, you know, jealousy, it's like a scanner, you know, and you feel a certain way, and then you've got this internal scanner going that's looking for anything, any type of behavior, anything that'll just validate the way that you're feeling. And I, you know, the way that I kind of turned it around for myself was that I internalized that scanner. Instead of looking outward, you know, for something to validate the way that I was feeling, I started looking at myself and why I was feeling that way. And, you know, I just came to terms with you know, what, you know, that feeling was stemming from and in what ways I could just turn it around and put more of a positive spin on it, you know. And unfortunately, you know, for a lot of people, that will take a lot of self-actualization, and a lot of people don't do that.
No, they don't want to heal the issues. Now, you were going to read from the book, you two, about what, apart from Grant Me Higher Love, about how jealousy makes us feel, because it's really an unpleasant thing. And I've experienced it mainly when I was younger, and boy, I wrote this part from what I remember it made me feel. So first you're going to read that part, and then we'll take the next caller, okay? So starting with Kim.
How does jealousy make us feel? Number one, it makes us feel unworthy.
It makes us feel ugly.
It makes us feel stupid.
It makes us feel humiliated.
It makes us feel out of control.
It makes us feel angry.
It makes us feel irrational.
It makes us feel hateful.
It makes us feel betrayed.
It makes us feel abandoned.
It makes us feel rejected and unwanted.
It makes us feel panicky and anxious.
It makes us feel vengeful.
It makes us feel disempowered.
It makes us feel depressed.
It makes us feel sick.
It makes us feel helpless.
It makes us feel like we did when we were a kid and somebody flat left us.
It makes us feel like life is hell on earth.
It makes us feel like stalking our mates.
It makes us feel like we have to get out of the relationship so it will just go away. Yeah, right.
It makes us feel cornered and threatened.
It makes us feel like spying on our mates, and it makes us feel that it's all right to do so.
It makes us feel like interrogating everybody.
It makes us feel like talking about these jealous feelings to anyone who will listen.
It makes us feel like doing all kinds of crazy things in hopes that the awful jealous feelings will go away.
It makes us feel like distracting by overeating, drinking, gambling, shopping, whatever any addiction will do.
It makes us feel violent.
It makes us feel like fantasizing, planning, scheming, and plotting on the next move.
It makes us feel like a kid when we came to realize that mommy really did love our siblings more than us.
It makes us feel rage.
It makes us feel.
Now, you guys read that beautifully, and you can see it is an intense emotion. It's all about feeling things and feeling out of control and emotions we can't control. Now, I think you said we did have another caller.
We do, Cindy.
And Lorraine, thank you for calling.
Hello, you're on with Cindy, Kim, and Nicole.
Good evening. How are you, girls?
Hello,
Carrie.
I heard your husband wanted to make higher love to you. I love that guy.
Yeah, we're calling that letter. We're doing it. Yeah.
Good. I am so proud of you, too. That is the best news ever. And we're talking about jealousy tonight. I'm wondering if you're a jealous girl.
Oh, I was just saying, thank God I don't have to go through that. Makes me feel a whole dot list.
Not necessarily all at one time.
Yeah, but it's pretty much.
No, I'm telling you, I was saying, thank God, not that's wrong for me. Mm-hmm. No, that's not for me. That's not for me. Well, thank God now my husband is, I'm pretty good. He's giving me the confidence, and I'm not jealous at all. I'm not insecure, and I'm very good with him. But talking back on my maybe 6-7 years ago, I was little, whatever all the list they read in there, I think it was pretty much all of them. I was crazy, I was miserable, I was depressed, and just time to heal, you know?
Right. I mean, we were talking about that earlier, that when we're younger, we tend to experience more jealousy. I think it goes back to being more like children when we were jealous of our brothers and our mother's attention. And I think as we get older and grow in self-esteem and we feel a little more secure, people aren't leaving us in 2 seconds or not leaving us anytime they're just looking at somebody, I think we grow a little less jealous with time.
Yeah, I believe I was talking about 23 years old when I did something very, very dumb about...
No.
Not you, Carrie.
No, me, yes. Yeah, I was coming to Kim about it. I was taking pills because my boyfriend broke up with me, and for Valentine's Day, I sent my bracelet of... I was in the hospital just to let him know what I did for him, you know. And so it was
somehow...
It kind of was pointless. If you were doing it to him, because you were the one who suffered.
But again, she was so devastated by the loss of it. When we lose somebody, our sense of abandonment comes up. That's what jealousy is about. The higher your fear of abandonment, the higher jealousy you're going to experience. If you're not afraid to be alone and you don't have a fear of abandonment, you know you're better off to be alone than be with someone who doesn't really want to be with you. But when we're younger, it is a very strong devastation. And I'm sure you learned from that experience.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But it's hard to control the jealousy, you know. It's sometimes it's happened to my husband, too. I mean, his daughter and me, you know. But it's different jealousy. And I have to understand, you know, it's a different love. But, yeah, it's hard to control it.
It is hard. But if we're aware that it's not something that we should strive for, I think that's better. I think we have another caller, you're saying, Nicole?
We do. Thank you for calling, Carrie.
Thank you. Have a
good night,
guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Mom, Nicole, Kim.
Hello, you're on.
Hi, honey.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, I just wanted to call in. And I just want to say that your show should be at least 2 or 3 hours long, don't you think? I mean, you know, just when people are getting warmed up, the show's over, you know?
I agree.
Don't you think?
Yes, well, and especially you should come here and join us. We would love that.
I would love to sometime, but I did want to call in because jealousy, I mean, I could probably write my own book on the complex, you know, issues I have surrounding jealousy. You know, I don't even know where to begin.
Well, I think it is one of your karmic lessons. Being your mom, I think I've realized that jealousy is one of your karmic lessons.
But, I mean, I definitely...
Well, you're much, much better than... You know, now than when she was younger.
I mean, it's strange, you know, about jealousy. You know, like I found that I was always afraid when someone I was with, or even a friend or something, I was afraid of them becoming successful, and I didn't really, you know, of them achieving things, and I didn't really understand why I felt that way. And I think it had something to do with like my first. Remember Travis? Oh, I said his name. Hi, Travis.
<Uh-oh.
laughs> Let's call him Travis because
okay,
that's his name.
His last name and his phone number, too.
Right.
Travis, let's call him Travis.
Okay.
Right. In high school, yeah, all of a sudden he became...
Travis.
All right, listen, he was like this little kid. He was just like a normal kid, and then he became like really popular, and he never talked to me again. And I think after that I was always afraid of whoever I was with like becoming successful or... you know, achieving something, and I was afraid that they would leave me, you know, if they actually, you know, became somebody that other people like, you know?
On the nail, because I think a lot of times, we were talking about when I was married to Daddy in the early years, I found that, you know, I wasn't able to achieve a lot of things I wanted to do because he was threatened by so many things, and yet I take full responsibility for that because I had my own need to be disempowered. But it is sometimes a person doesn't want a person to get too successful if it will get them to leave you. So,
and I didn't understand where that feeling came from, and I think maybe it stems from that early experience I had when I was a young teenager where, you know, I feel like if someone that I'm with, you know, has other people who are interested in them thinking that they're, you know, a wonderful person, that that means they're going to leave me, you know, and that's just a terrible way to live. So I kind of, you know, realized where that was stemming
but
from,
once
I think.
You see a pattern and you realize it's there, it does go away. You need to recognize it.
Right. And I just think, you know, jealousy can just be a very destructive thing. But also, in a way, I have a strange relationship with it where, you know, like if a person I'm with, you know, someone else likes them, I feel jealous and I kind of like it. Is that weird? Like it kind of, it excites me. You know, does anyone else feel that?
Well,
you know, I mean,
because it shows the person you're with is very desirable, I guess.
Right, or even if they like somebody else, like, it's weird. It's like, I don't know if it's like a masochistic streak or something.
Well, maybe you're just embracing it.
Right, and that it's...
You're choosing, instead of just to feel angry and destructive about it, you're choosing just to make it a warm, fuzzy feeling.
That's
right.
And can you share your experience with watching Oprah when they...
Yes. I also want to talk about an author named M. Gary Newman.
Yes,
I'm calling you out on your shit, M. Gary
right.
Newman. Now, I'm sure that you mean well, Mr. Newman, but telling people that they should give their mates lie detector tests, I mean, that's just insane to me. And the fact that Oprah was condoning
can
that.
I get
you
one
know,
of those machines in my bar?
I mean, her first question was, when you get one of those lie detector tests? Not, are you for real? I mean, you know, she's going to have Stedman, like, wired up tonight, you know? But
some things I don't really need to know.
I mean, he's, like, advocating, you know, checking people's, you know, your spouse's GPS, checking their email, checking their cell phone records, you
and
know? I mean,
that's exactly what I tell them not to do in my book, if you notice. I tell them it's not okay to do this. It's a boundary issue.
You know,
the whole thing is, if your relationship is coming down to checking a GPS and a lie detector test, what kind of relationship are you really trying
right?
to salvage in the first place?
And he's saying that this will give you peace because that means that you'll know the truth once and for all so you can stop spying, you know, and that if your spouse won't take a lie detector test, that means they're hiding something.
Well, how about people just openly communicate with one another to put your mind at ease?
I mean,
well,
is it like,
yeah, that'd be nice.
Big brother. I mean, come on, you know that you can't. And, you know, they had paired, with Amazon, had paired my book with his book. And, you know, I actually read it to see what it was about. And he has this very old school, he's a rabbi, by the way, and his old school thought that you're not even allowed to have a member of the opposite sex as your friend. I mean, isn't that
That's so sad.
Backwards? Isn't that marching
yeah.
backwards?
I've heard that a lot, actually.
Yeah, I mean, a nice rule of thumb is if you have a friend who is of the opposite sex, you should be able to be friends with, you know, your friend, and your partner should be able to be part of that friendship, you know?
That would be good. Or
yeah.
But also,
like, it shouldn't be something you hide from your partner, you know, if you have a friend of the opposite sex.
If you're hiding it, then there's something to be suspect about. So.
Right.
Right. And did you ever have a jealous boyfriend?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I did have a very possessive fiancé, actually. And, you know, it was to the point where I couldn't even have friends. We would go out somewhere, and a guy would look at me, or he would think a guy looked at me, and we'd have to leave. And, you know, he would accuse me of things. And, you know, later on I found out that he was actually attracted to, you know, another girl or whatever. And like you said, it was projection,
it was projection.
You know?
And, again, children have to relive their parents' marriage. And I saw this vividly clear when Shauna was with this particular guy, that she was duplicating what she saw in the first 5 years of her life when her father was extremely possessive. And when I finally put my foot down and threatened to leave him, he got a little bit better over the years. But she really did duplicate what she saw. So
well, at least I'm done with that now. At least I didn't marry him, and I really learned, and I will never be in a relationship like that again. I would run so fast from any man like that ever again.
Who would tie? And I think it's when women are younger, they pick men who are possessive, because in some ways it's flattering. In some ways
right.
we think that it has to do with love. But jealousy is not about love. It's about fear. It has nothing at all to do with love. I mean, I had a woman, and she was 75. She was one of my clients this week. And she had had a terrible marriage for like 40 years, and her husband's like totally not there for her. And about 2 years ago, they decided to separate, and he went upstate New York, and she was here, and he got a girlfriend. And she thought, and she asked him to come back, and now he's back for 2 years, and she's miserable, and she wants to throw him out again. And I said, if you had only known that jealousy was not about love, that it was about insecurity and feeling that you're being replaced and your fear of abandonment, you would have never taken him back. She just mistook that feeling for love. So,
right, yeah, like someone that I work with, my manager, her husband left her, and now she has a fiancé, and he wants to come back, you know?
Again, it's not about love. So, you know, when we're young, I think we just think this is great. This guy really wants to own me. He wants to be with me every second. You know, he's so jealous of me. He looks at me because he loves me so much. We need to teach our children that kind of thinking is pathological. It's dangerous. It has the potential to be deadly if not taken down 20 notches. I mean, I had another client. Shauna's age 29, and she was living with a guy upstate. He took her from her home here, you know, in Patchogue, so she wasn't near her friends and family. Pretty much locked her up and was so possessive and jealous. And this is an intelligent, educated woman, and she finally had to escape from him. Because he was just so bad, she couldn't even go out of the house. It was so bad. I mean, that's the Hedda Nussbaum and Joel Steinberg whole thing when he kept her tied up and, you know, beaten her. So if we get to see jealousy as it's a point where it can be really over-the-top mental illness as opposed to normal garden variety that sometimes can get over-the-top if we're drinking or, you know, if somebody's drinking, sometimes their jealousy gets worse. But
how about the whole Rihanna and Chris Brown? I don't know if you heard about that. Apparently,
oh,
you know,
God.
He beat her up, you know, because she accused him of being with another girl, possibly, or something, you know, and this is something very public that's being played out, you know.
So right there, every day, if you can pick up any newspaper in this country, you will find a story of someone who thought they owned somebody and killed them or beat them up or beat up somebody they were going with. Because they thought they had a right to do that. And if you were to take a poll, a lot of people will say, oh, that was right in doing that. I mean, that's the scary part about it. People don't necessarily think this is, you know, a bad thing, you know. And so jealousy is something that we, at this stage of human development, most of us will experience it. But if we're aware that it doesn't have anything to do with love, it has to do with self-esteem issues. And, you know, that's an important thing.
Right, and you know, I'm also that teacher. Do you remember the one who her husband recently killed her because she was accusing him of cheating on her when he went to Atlantic City? She smacked him across the face, and he strangled her. The
well,
teacher right on Long Island, yeah.
Right, and that's the cellmate love.
Well, the bottom line
is,
if a relationship is manifesting any kind of violence, be it verbal abuse or actual physical abuse, that's not a loving relationship. And the people that are engaged in that relationship really need to rethink why exactly they're in that particular relationship. Jealousy can stem from a number of things, be it abandonment, be it, you know, your self-esteem. It could manifest itself in any way, shape, or form, you know. But when a relationship turns violent like that, and we've all seen it, you know, you have to realize that, you know, it's not worth it. No relationship is worth sacrificing your entire life.
That's right, and it is cellmate, the lower ends of the ladder of love, where there's a lot of rage issues, because anger has a, you know, jealousy has a tremendous rage issue in there, and so, you know, this is a thing, you know, the cellmates who have the anger, and then they try to leave each other, because cellmates have that unconscious contract that says, no matter what you do or I do, we never leave each other, so when the person actually starts to walk away, you know, that's where the violence occurs. But there are the signs along the way that the relationship is has pathological, you know, and it's not even, you know, some people who are just normal or pretty normal end up getting involved with these people because people don't show that side of them immediately. So, you know, it may get worse and worse over time, or if you ever did anything that they thought was suspicious, or, you know, you have a friend that they don't like, or, you know, they think the friend is the person who's going to, you know, make you do things that, you know, they don't want you to do. That's when it starts getting over the top. So it doesn't always start out that way. So
now, I'm sorry, what was it?
Now I realize that, you know, when I love someone, I wouldn't want to keep anything from them, whether it was, you know, a job that took them somewhere far away or a thing or even a person. You know, I wouldn't want to keep anything from them that was really going to give them joy because, you know, that's real love to me.
That's right.
I see that now.
If you have solid enough love, the person will do what they'll do and they'll still be there for you. So, I mean, jealousy is such a complex emotion as we've been discussing. And, you know, the main thing is that it is a feeling that you own somebody. And that can be really that's really where the deadly part of it comes into. And, you know, jealousy can serve a good purpose. Can anybody think of any good purposes that jealousy can serve?
Self-actualization for me.
Right.
Hmm.
You know,
how's that?
I mean,
that's
me,
interesting.
That's, well, basically, in my previous relationship, and this is actually, ironically enough, this is the only relationship that I've ever really been jealous in.
Is this the only person you've ever loved?
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so that could explain it right there, Cindy. Thank you.
So that your feelings are a little deeper for this person than they were for someone else.
Yeah, well, you know what? I didn't need a beeper for her. I did not need any of that stuff. It was more or less, you know, I just gave her an incredible amount of attitude. And, you know, that was my projection of my personality on her. And I had to come to a point where I realized that I cannot fault her for not doing what I would have done or what I think I would have done in a particular circumstance. You know, in the end, my jealousy, you know, did have some, you know, leg to stand on because, you know, I was fearing being replaced in the relationship. I was, you know, fearing losing the relationship. And I knew that that was well on its way, you know. So I acted, you know, very unfavorably trying to basically delay the inevitable, you know, but I had to come to terms with the fact that, you know, certain inevitable truths of that relationship were, number one, she was a bisexual. There was no way that she was going to be homosexual no matter how much I wished it on her, you know. So was she shopping around for somebody else? Yes, she was, because she was shopping around for a man, you know. She was shopping around for something that I could never be. You know, and the way, and I've actually, you know, said this, you know, to her, and I also said this to somebody else that I was seeing after her, you know, that my whole stance on it now and where I really kind of keep myself in check is that I just keep telling myself that if I'm not the one for you, then the one that is for you is going to be everything that I am and everything that I'm not. And when that person does come into your life, then you and me is what I'll dream, but you and them is what I want.
Wow.
You know, and it's, and like I said before, it's all has to do with just loving the person enough to just let them go. I've made it a difficult breakup? Absolutely. Could I have, you know, made it, you know, worse than it needed to be? Absolutely. But I couldn't do that because I loved her too much to let her settle for me.
Wow. Now we're going to talk a little bit about the differences in how men and women as a whole respond to jealousy. You know, when a woman finds out that a man's cheated on her, what's the first thing she asks?
What does she look like?
What does she look like? Uh-huh. And is she younger than me? Uh-huh.
And I love how you look at Kim when you say that. What did she look like? With that accusatory stare.
And women, you know, they really, really get hit in that physical thing. They think that, you know, a man's looking for a woman who's more attractive. But men...
Can I just interject here? I have to say, don't you think it could be my sterling personality at any point?
That people are after you?
Yes.
Yes, yes.
I have been told. Okay, you know what? Kim does have an excellent personality.
Thank you.
Okay, I love Kim's personality, but let's face it, when you look at Kim... The first thing that you see is not her personality.
Whatever.
Okay, now when men, you know, what they want to know, the man doesn't really care if, you know, if he's better looking. Men,
how much money does he make?
How much money does he make?
And can he provide better for you than me? So can you see how it's, you know, men and women are different that way. And women tend to get jealous more easily than men. But when a man gets jealous, it can often turn more violent. We have another caller.
We do.
Okay, Shauna, stay on. We'll see who's here next.
Okay.
Hello, you're on with Cindy, Kim, and Nicole.
Is that you, Nicole?
It is me.
It's Richard. How are you?
Hello, Richard. How are you?
I am good. How is my ex-wife doing? And your show is wonderful.
Husband. Sexy,
the sexy ex-husband is asking about his sexy ex-wife.
And why the hell she wasn't jealous, I don't know.
Now, I don't know. It is Kim's sterling personality. It's not what you see. Kim's great.
Yeah, I know.
Thank you.
All right.
It's a double threat.
Jealousy.
Jealousy.
Nice.
I know. You're not allowed to be beautiful and nice and smart. And she is all those things. It's true.
Triple threat. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was always nice to be you know, when I was out with Kim, it was always nice because people always paid attention to Kim. She's very attractive, and it was very flattering to me. So, you know, I was never jealous because I always knew that Kim was with me. And our relationship, I think, at one point was really, really strong, and I never had any fear. So I don't think I was ever jealous in that relationship.
How about her profession as a stripper? Did that ever threaten you, or if you were in a bar and you saw her dancing?
I had been in that business. I had been a manager years ago, and I knew a lot about the business. And I knew Kim. She's got a real strong personality. In the end, you know, for her, it's work, and, you know, ultimately it became more. But it's work for her, and I know that. She was coming home to me, and that never bothered me, you know. I was jealous.
But you're not a jealous person.
No, I'm not.
May
no,
I
have been
question?
Jealous. I have been jealous in the past.
Oh, in the past, when you were younger?
Oh, you had another relationship years ago. As I was listening to the show today, I was thinking about that, and I was like, you know, there was one time that I kind of was a little psycho. And, you know, and I thought about it, and I'm realizing it was my issues. I was, you know, the fear of abandonment and loss, and, you know, it was like, you know, she was a very beautiful girl, and I didn't think I'd ever replace that. It was like a prize, you know. Now, somebody
Listen,
was taking
I have a
my
question
toy away.
For you.
Oh, you always have a question for me.
I have a question for you.
Oh, talk to me.
Do you think that you would have been less jealous, or rather, I'm sorry, do you think that you might have been a more jealous person if you, yourself, were less attractive?
Uh-huh. Good
question.
Yeah,
I'd probably
be more jealous.
Do you think the fact that
you are a very good-looking man, Richard? You are a very handsome man?
I'm fairly confident, and I'm self-aware, and maybe you're right, but
right. It's true because you didn't find, you know, most men as a threat to your
physical.
The man that I lost him to is not as
attractive
as me. I mean, he's a nice guy from what I understand, but he's not as attractive as me. You know, so it wasn't about her finding a better looking man. That's never, I think, what it's about with women. I think it's more about finding somebody that makes them happy. And I was, you know, when Kim and I finally split up, She wanted to go be happy, and I let her go. You know, more or less, it came down to that. One day, we just said, "Well, let's split up." And I was hurt, and I had, you know, initially I was very upset about it, but it's come to terms. I mean, I love her very much. We're fairly good friends still. You know, we have two beautiful children, and we have a good relationship now, better probably than the last 3 or 4 years of our marriage.
Well,
so
that's
you know,
good, and I'm glad that you're aware of that. When you were younger and you looked back, and this is a way to really heal our issues, now you see that it was, you know, your own.
Oh, it was all me.
Was that jealous, that caused
yeah.
your jealousy in that other time. You know,
yeah.
we project on another person. We say, well, you're making me jealous. You're wearing that outfit to make me jealous. You're flirting with that person to make me jealous. You're doing this to make me jealous. And we're not. And, you know, it's good that you were able to see that it was your own issues. It wasn't really the person.
Well, it took a long time for me to accept that I had issues. I'm perfect. I don't have any issues.
Yeah. Everybody, I'm listening to this radio show and everybody on it, we're all perfect.
That's
yeah,
a lie.
Of course we are.
But straight from the pits of hell, I'm going to have to tell you that, Richard.
What's that?
That you're perfect.
I know it.
Straight from the pits of hell, you're perfect.
Yes, I am.
That's because I am perfect, and we can't be both perfect.
We both can't be perfect together.
Wow.
Only one of us. One of us can be more perfect.
Well, you know, it's funny because jealousy is really one of those things that I don't think there's a person on earth who could honestly say they've never experienced it. Unless they're an ascended master walking on the earth plane, you know, then maybe not. But jealousy is one of those things we could all have our stories when we've done something over the top or screamed and gone crazy because, you know, someone has, you know, said something or done something that we thought they shouldn't have. And it's really not a very pleasant thing to feel. That's what I know.
No, I remember even after, you know, I was jealous and I did things that were completely out of character for me, completely out of the norm. And I was embarrassed by my actions afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
And just, you know, completely, you know, taken aside. Like you go into this mindset where you're somewhere else. It's not even you. You're like out of body being a jerk. And, you know, I had a great relationship with the girl for 4 years, and I was an asshole. Excuse me. I was absolutely out of control.
It's okay. It's for a mature audience. Oh. That's okay. And, no, but you're a man who's a little bit extraordinary because you do tend to look at your life with a little bit more, a little more trying to find out what you've done and where you've come from.
Oh, it allows me to recognize a mistake when I make it again.
Well, that's it. And I think as we become more aware that, you know, love and jealousy are not necessarily, you know, hand in hand, that if we strive to be with someone who really wants to be with us, you know, totally, maybe our jealousy will just naturally subside anyway. But I think with time and with age, it does usually get down. I mean, it's funny when you watch a sitcom like Everybody Loves Raymond and suddenly Marie Barone's jealous because somebody's flirting with Frank, you know.
I mean,
you got to laugh at that. Who the hell wants Frank? I mean, really, you know, it's almost over the top. So, you know, it is a little unflattering as you get older to still experience that level of jealousy is kind of surprising. It shows to me that you haven't learned much walking the earth plane.
Point. If you want to leave.
Hello. Did we get cut off?
Oh,
I think he's on his cell phone, right?
Richard, you are getting cut off.
I am. Got another caller?
No, I think you were losing your cell. Is there another caller on? No. Okay. Anyway, so basically what we're trying to figure out is how we can have relationships in which if we're feeling jealous, what can we do? First of all, we've got to stop saying the person's doing something to make us jealous.
Well, nobody could make you feel anything.
Right. So we
you
have
are
to
control of your own emotions.
So we have to stop that. Secondly, we have to talk about it. We have to calmly talk about it, not scream, not yell. And if you find yourself stalking that person or, you know, checking their cell phones and email, maybe you better stop, you know, and figure out, is this what I want to be doing? Do I want to be like I Spy or, you know, I don't think we ever feel good doing that. Kim, you have something to say?
I don't know who has time for that stalking crap, but maybe I'm a little lazy in that aspect. But
Kim, I assure you,
you
it's
people
too
don't
far.
Have jobs.
It is. It's too far, wherever it is. But but I'm just saying. I mean, even your mild jealousy. I mean, if I was with somebody who was, you know, had a moment of insecurity or a moment of jealousy, sometimes a little reassurance.
Right.
From the person would be good.
Right.
You know, sometimes I just want to be with you. And, you know, at the end of the day, you're the one I come home to and you're the one I love and you're the one I want to be with. And sometimes you do need that reassurance. You know, some people are jealous because they don't get reassurance.
Right. And we were saying that sometimes we're jealous. Some days we're just really not feeling good about ourselves. And, you know, everybody's threatening to us. Everybody seems to have a better life, a better job, a better haircut, whatever. And so it seems, you know, when we're feeling that way, if our partner can see that we're not in the most secure place and maybe reassure us, I think that's a very good thing to do. But I think jealousy is one of those things that we have to have an awareness. The problem with pathological jealousy is narcissists are pathologically jealous. And it's the narcissism. They can't see what they're doing to you. They can't see that they're, you know, that they're so greedily wanting you and that they're being violent and that their behavior is so over the top. They don't see what they're doing wrong. I mean, that's the difference. A person who's got normal range jealousy isn't proud when they act like a lunatic. They'll later on say, I'm sorry, you didn't deserve that, it's me. And, you know, that's the difference between a pathologically jealous person and a person who's, you know, maybe having a bad day, a bad time, and bad self-esteem. So it's talking and communicating will help. And being aware that jealousy is not about love. I can't stress that enough. And anyone have anything to add over here?
Well, yeah, I think that there's basic, you know, things that you can, you know, teach yourself to do that will help you overcome jealousy if you are a jealous person. You know, you have to just understand the emotion as a whole. You know, and you have to understand that it is fear and anger based and that nobody belongs to you, no matter how much they feel, they may feel like they belong to you. You know, you have to allow yourself to feel whatever it is that you're feeling, but you have to do it in a healthier way, you know. And Kim, you wanted to add something to that?
Well, you know, it's funny because I deal with jealousy working in a strip club. Customers think they own me because they've given me money. And the more money they give me, the more jealousy is instilled, which is ridiculous. Because, you know, I laugh. I say, hey, nobody owns me. It was your choice to give me the money in the first place. But, you know, if somebody gives me $500 or $1,000, they think they own me. And nobody is.
Well, they own your pinky at least.
They own your pinky at least.
Maybe
it's a toe.
Maybe
it's a left toe.
They own nothing.
They own nothing, and there is nothing
exactly.
in trade for money, you know. But it's so funny because they get some of them get just enraged with jealousy. It's an illusion. It's a fantasy. If you don't want to give me money, don't give me money. But I'm not your prostitute or your toy.
That's pathological jealousy. Again, we're getting into the realms of that's over-the-top behavior.
But then they go back to their wives.
Right.
And you're not supposed to be jealous. No.
Right. And, and what about their wives?
Although I'm, like, horribly jealous of all my married customers.
Well, I'm going
to... I'm horribly jealous of everyone's wife.
And I'm going to ask, throw this one out. Is it, do you think women who are jealous when their husbands go to a strip club or their husbands are looking at pornography, or, you know, do you think that's over-the-top jealousy, or do you think, you know, that's within normal ranges? Would you know, I'm sure women are jealous when they know that men are going to a strip club.
Come on, boys will be boys. Come on, give them a break.
No, I mean, there is, you know, even for me, I'm not jealous if somebody I know, you know, I'm with goes to a strip club. It holds such a different meaning for me on the other, you know, side of it, that it would be more of a, you know, respect factor if they were going on a regular basis. Once in a while is great. If you're spending a whole lot of money, I'm going to get a little annoyed. But, you know, it goes the other way, you know. I don't know if I could deal with my person being a male stripper. I don't know if I can deal
jealousy.
With it.
See, you have jealousy.
I really
we caught her. She's jealous. She's the only one who's got to be beautiful and can take her clothes off.
No. I wouldn't be good with it. I'd have to accept it if that was the case. But I would honestly have to say I wouldn't like it.
Well, you see.
And that is why Kim is a very non-jealous person, because she
he's
absolutely avoids any situation that could possibly make her jealous. She's non-jealous because she's an avoider. No, I never have felt threatened by another woman, per se, because, come on, let's face it, why would I be? But
we just lost our listeners who leave the
wow. But I don't know. I just would feel uncomfortable. I don't know if it would be jealousy. Maybe it is jealousy. I don't know.
So people who claim to be jealousy-free, as Freud said, are usually so repressed that they don't know that they're experiencing jealousy. I think it's one of the things she's repressed.
Well, I never dated a male dancer anyway, so I guess I'll never know.
Well, don't they mostly dance for other men anyway? I mean,
yes, they do. Most of the time.
Well, anyway, I'm going to read a section from Grant Me a Higher Love, and it's, can jealousy serve any good purpose? Jealousy can definitely help us heal our issues if we allow it to. It also serves to keep us on our toes so we don't take our partners for granted. When we feel we have a rival, we become more attentive to our mate's needs. We might actually try to change some of our behaviors that are driving our mates crazy. We might start taking better care of ourselves as well. We might start dieting or going to the gym so that we might appear more attractive to our mates. So try to use whatever jealousy may remain in your heart for the greater good. And that's an important thing. It's all good if we allow it to be. You know, next week we're going to tackle a pretty, pretty interesting topic, and it's commitment phobia, which seems to be a massive new age fear. So pervasive that people can't even commit to going on dates. They can't commit to saying they're dating. I just had a beautiful young girl here, tarot card reading right before, and God always gives me the people to reinforce what I know. And, you know, it was like our booty call last week. She has a friend with benefits. And this friend with benefits, they've been together for 2 years, and they can't even commit to say they're more than friends with benefits, although they're in love. That's commitment phobia. So we're going to be dealing with commitment phobia, and I hope you'll all join us. And I see Nicole can't wait for that one.
I have no comment at this time.
Right, and we're going to try to get as many callers as we can. I really want to thank my cousin Lorraine for calling, for Shauna, my beautiful daughter.
My pleasure.
For Rich, who really is a great guy and added so much. For Carrie, who always is here for us. And, again, I always wish us a Godspeed in your journey toward a higher love. I want my girls to finish. I know Kim has a few things to say.
I want to thank the man from last week who let me cry on his shoulder. And sorry for ruining your shirt. I hope you like the new one. And for my other gentleman friend who came in and apologized to me, I appreciate your apology, Jerry, and you are a man of great integrity. And also to my
friend who just passed away. Larry, rest in peace. I love you all.
And Nicole?
I would actually just like to give two shout-outs. One to the guys over at Radio Shack in Rocky Point. Thank you very much for tuning in, guys, and taking our message throughout the store today. And I would also like to give a very special shout-out to Dr. George over at the Euro.
Oh, Dr.
Spa.
George! The man who makes us beautiful.
And that's it. We love you all. Good night.
Good night. And that's a night.